Canterbury tonight in the book of Jude, little book of Jude, and it's found, of course, the last but one book of the Bible. You have the epistles of John, you have the book of Jude, then you have the book of Revelation. So we're at Jude. Jude, and reading the first 11 verses. It says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, through ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving them souls over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they are gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. And we know that God will bless this reading of his holy truth for Christ's sake. The opening verse of this little epistle tells us that Jude was the brother of James. The commentators, the people who ought to know, tell us that the writer was probably the Lord's half-brother. We know nothing more of him, save that he's mentioned in Matthew 13, verse 55, and Mark chapter 6, verse 3. Jude is the last of the epistles. And of course, it's from the epistles that we get the doctrines of our faith. We find in the apostles' epistles that the great bases and doctrines of our faith are taught, the things that we believe and hold unto. This may be the last epistle. It may be a short epistle, but it's still important. It's just as important as any of the others. When you look at this little epistle, you see the problem Jude exposes. Jude intended to write of salvation, the common salvation, but because of the alarming growth in apostasy, he seeks to expose the acts of the apostates. Seems that these apostates had crept in among the people of God and were teaching error. Jude exhorts the believers to earnestly contend for the faith. That's something we still need to do today. We need to know what we mean when we're talking about an apostate, because I've heard preachers referring to people who maybe differ from them in small things of doctrine, and they refer to them as apostates. Dear friends, an apostate is not that at all. An apostate is someone who has known the truth, but who deliberately turns from the truth to something else. That's what an apostate is. Someone who knows the truth of God and the truth of the gospel and deliberately turns from it to something else. And so there were these people who were creeping in and teaching false doctrine among the people. And that's the problem that Jude grasps as he writes this little epistle. See, the past he refers to, because he takes three examples from the past to warn the people that vengeance always comes and follows apostasy. He refers to how God dealt with Israel. How God dealt with Israel, you remember, when they believed not, even when they'd been brought out of the land of Egypt. And they believed not, and many of them perished in the wilderness. They turned away from the truth. He refers to the fallen angels, the angels that kept not their first estate. He hath reserved unto everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. There's angels who fell. There's angels who followed my Lucifer and my the reserved unto the judgment of that day. And he refers to Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, how they gave themselves over to fornication and to strange flesh, and they were set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So those who don't believe in eternal punishment, they should read this epistle. If you don't believe in it, you should read this epistle, because Jude clearly teaches us about it. And of course, this is not the only place in the Word of God where we're taught about it. You see the parallel he makes. He brings before us the punishment Jude underlines here. He says in verse 13, he says, as he reminds us of these things, he says, ravening waves of the sea foaming out of their shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. My dear friends, Jude warns about the judgment that will come on those who have turned away from the truth. And when we come up to verse 11, he says this: woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. And I want to take that little text tonight that we find at the beginning of verse 11, where it says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. My dear friends, Jude warns about the judgment of God that will come upon those who have gone in the way of Cain. And I believe there's many people tonight, and they have gone in the way of Cain. Let me say some things about Cain before we go any further, because we learn about Cain when we turn to the very first book of the Bible, and the very beginning of that book, in Genesis chapter 4. And we find, of course, that this man Cain was the first person to be born into the world. Adam and Eve were both created by God, Adam from the dust of the earth and Eve from Adam's rib. But Cain was the first person who was born by natural means into the world. He was a tiller of the ground, it says. He would be the equivalent of a modern day farmer. He worked the ground for a living. We read in verse 17 that he built a city. He built a city. He was quite some person. He was active, an active leader in the development of secular, materialistic and worldly culture. And although he may have been successful in business, on the other side of things, he grew up a murderer, a reviler of God, and an apostate. And this is the man who's before us, the way of Cain. When we think of the way of Cain, we think of the way of religion. The way of Cain was the way of false religion. He was a founder of the first false religion in world history. And there's been many false religions from then. There's a way over 1,000, maybe 1,500, we're told, different religions in the world. And of course, they all can't be right. Cain's religion was based on good works and human reasoning. He had a younger brother called Abel. And I believe, and I can picture Adam, their father, gathering these two boys together as they grew up, gathering them together and teaching them that the only way to approach a holy God was through the shed blood of a sacrifice. They both had the privilege of being taught the way of salvation from an early age at their father and mother's knee. And we find as we read the story that in process of time, they both brought an offering to the Lord. Abel brought of the firstling of the flock and offered it as a sacrifice to God, and he was a keeper of sheep, so he must have brought a lamb, and it was accepted. But Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground, and his offering was not acceptable. You see, Cain's offering was based on good works and the works of his own hands. I'm sure that this man believed in the reality of God. He had the desire to come to God and the desire to worship God. But he wanted to come to God his way, on his terms, and on his condition. This man had religion, but it was false religion. One of the world's greatest authorities on religion has pointed out that all false religion emphasizes good works and merit as the basis of salvation. So the way of Cain was the way of religion, but it was false religion. And I believe there's many people who are following the way of Cain tonight. They have religion, but it's founded on good works. It's false religion. The way of Cain is religion without a sacrifice. And today, many people are bringing their good works to God, and they're offering their good works to God as a sacrifice to make them acceptable to Him. And many people are bringing their church going to God, and they're offering it as a sacrifice to make them acceptable to Him. And many people are bringing their prayers to God and their religious ways to God, and they're offering them as a sacrifice to God to make them acceptable to Him. But dear friends, most people, they like a little bit of religion. But God has revealed in His Word that the only way into His presence is through the shed blood of a sacrifice. He requires a blood sacrifice for atonement to be made for sin. And the message of salvation revolves around a sacrifice being offered for sin, the sacrifice of a lamb being offered. And the message of salvation, it revolves around the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who became the Lamb of God. And Hebrews tells us that once in the end of the age hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And there at Calvary, on that center tree, the Son of God shed his precious blood and offered up a sacrifice to God which was acceptable to God. And Jesus comes tonight and he says to those who long to have their sins forgiven and know and be sure of heaven, he says to men and women, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's many religions in this world. There's people with so many different opinions. But Jesus says, I am the way. And he is the way tonight because he offered himself as a sacrifice on the cross at Calvary and shed his blood to make an atonement for sin. So the way of Cain. He says, woe unto them. Judgment will come unto them who go in the way of Cain. Yes, the way of Cain was the way of the false sacrifice, false religion. Dear friends, we find this out, that the way of Cain was not only the way of religion, but it was the way of rebellion. False religion and fierce rebellion. Listen to what it says again about Cain in Genesis chapter 4. My, when God had not respect unto Cain's offering, it says, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. It tells us that Cain rose up against his brother Abel and slew him. And he said, am I my brother's keeper? You know, the way of Cain is marked by three things. It's marked by rage, by violence, and by falsehood. And you will find that a great many religions in our world today, at this very moment, are marked by these three things. Rage, anger, violence, and falsehood. You know, when Cain rose up in anger and slew his brother Abel, he was not only rebelling against his brother, he was rebelling against God. Because when God made man in his own image. The way of Cain was the way of rebellion against God. Fierce rebellion. He rebelled against the teaching of his father. I've already made reference to it tonight, that my Adam would have taught these boys from an early age. He would have taught them that guilty sinners could only come to God with shed blood. My dear friends, I'm sure that Adam would have taught them that their sins can only be atoned for through the shedding of blood. But he rebelled against the teaching of his father. He rebelled against the truth of God. He was not prepared to go God's way. He wanted my dear friend to come to God his way, on his terms. There's many like him today. They're not prepared and happy to go God's way. They want to come to God their way. And he rebelled against the triune God. Because when he slew his brother Abel, he was rebelling against God, because it was God that made man in his own image. The way of Cain was the way of rebellion, way of religion, the way of rebellion. We read in the New Testament in 2 Timothy chapter 3 about the last days and those that will be in the last days and how people's lives will be ordered in the last days. And one of the things that stands out about the last days is disobedience and rebellion. We read about how in the last days children will be disobedient to their parents. How there'll be rebellion against authority in society. Rebellion in the home. Rebellion in the workplace. Rebellion in the school. Rebellion in so many places. My dear friends, there's many people today and they're rebelling against the truth of the gospel. Rebelling against God. We hear them on the radio, rebelling. My calling contemptuously upon God, insulting God. They're playing with fire. They're in grave danger, friends. There's many today, and they've rebelled against the gospel. They've trampled underfoot the blood of Christ that was shed at Calvary. They've no time or pay no heed to the commandments. There seems to be no fear of God in people today. And the way of Cain was the way of rebellion. I wonder tonight, friend, are you going in the way of Cain? Because Jude says, woe unto them who go in the way of Cain. Woe unto them. Judgment lies ahead for them who have gone in the way of Cain. The way of Cain was the way of religion, false religion. The way of Cain was the way of rebellion, fierce rebellion. The way of Cain was the way of separation, final separation. It says here in Genesis 4, verse 16, it says, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He went out from the presence of the Lord. You know, because of the way that Cain chose to go and the way that Cain chose to live, a curse was put upon him. A curse was put upon him. God said, and now thou art cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. God says, you're cursed. A curse was put upon him. He became a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And we find that he says, my punishment in verse 13 is greater than I can bear. Oh, dear friends, this man went out from the presence of the Lord. And he went out from the presence of the Lord without a sacrifice and without a shelter and without a savior. I was thinking of Judas. We read of Judas in John 13, John's Gospel 13, and how when he sat around the Passover table just before Christ went out to be betrayed and crucified, and Judas was there. You know, it was the last meeting that Judas was ever at. This could be the last meeting that you'll ever be at. This could be the last time I'll ever preach. But it was the last meeting that Judas was ever at. And it was the last message that Judas ever heard. And it was the last movement that Judas ever made as far as the eternal salvation of a soul was concerned, because Christ took the sop, which was a morsel of bread, he dipped it in vinegar, and he handed it to Judas. And by handing him that morsel of bread, he was indicating that he was ready to start again with Judas. He was ready to forgive him. But it says in John's Gospel that having received the sop, he went out immediately. And it was night. It was night. He went out into the darkness. And into the night. Friend, he went on out that night. He went on out into the night and into the darkness of eternity. He went on out. It was his last night. He went out. He went out from the presence of the Lord. And Jude refers to these people who have turned from the truth here. Jude refers to them. And he says concerning them in this little epistle, "My, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." You know, friends, at death, the believer goes into the presence of the Lord. When death comes for the child of God, may we read that it's absent from the body and present with the Lord, which is far better. They go into the presence of the Lord. But you know, friends, for the unbeliever goes out from the presence of the Lord. They go out into the darkness, into the blackness and darkness forever. The way of Cain was the way of separation. He went out from the presence of the Lord. The way of Cain, my, is the way of eternal and final separation from God. My, there's many today, and they're going in the way of Cain. They have religion, but they've no Savior. They've no testimony like John or many more here tonight. They couldn't stand up and give their testimony because there's never been a time in their experience when they've repented of their sin and received Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. My dear friends, they have religion, but they've no testimony. No Savior. They have good works, but they've no cleansing for their sins. The way of Cain is the way of rebellion. Many rebelling. The way of Cain is the way of final separation from God. And the Bible says, woe unto them. Woe unto them. For they have gone in the way of Cain. They've gone in the way of Cain. Are you going in the way of Cain tonight? Or are you like Abel? Are you going God's way? You're going God's way. You're going Cain's way. Dear friends, Abel's faith was in a sacrifice. Cain's faith was in himself, his own good works. Abel's faith was saving faith. Cain's good works and human reasoning condemned him and damned him. Woe unto them. Trust tonight, friends, that you're not going in the way of Cain. What way are you going tonight? You're going God's way. You're going the way of the cross, because that's God's way. God's way is the way of the cross. And the way of the cross leads home. And the way to heaven is through God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Make sure you're not going in the way of Cain, but that you're going in the way of the cross. May God bless his word. Speak to our hearts tonight through it. For Christ's glory. Amen.